I have a friend who can remember every detail of an outfit she wore to every significant event in her life. Job interviews, first dates, holidays in Greece, a Boxing Day walk across the South Downs. She can recall the mood that a pair of boots or a silk sarong conjured, how blue wool or stripes or the cold tang of a pair of silver earrings transports her back through her life. Her description sparked something in me. It made me realise I have a similar relationship with books. On a long, uncomfortable train journey across India, when I had just left school, I had James Herbert's The Fog for company. In the suffocating heat and foreign smells of an Indian railway carriage, I was transported back to damp Wiltshire, to vicars and housewives and a caravan park. That book allowed me to see my world through different eyes. I remember throwing stones into a Scottish loch with a surface as still as glass while reading Sebastian Junger's A Perfect Storm. That book put me off fishing and sailboats for a decade. A nasty cold in a South London flat, I got through with Nick Hornby's Fever Pitch. Most of the details of the books I read are long lost. Like a homeopathic remedy, only the slightest hint of their mood remains. But that is enough. They provide a frame for life and memory can play tricks. I know I didn't read Captain Corelli's Mandolin on holiday in Greece. I read it on the tube in the mornings on my way to work. But it feels like I did, because good books transport you somewhere. They make you feel like you have lived it. I didn't read Jackie Collins' Hollywood Wives when I was in LA one summer for work. I read it tucked up in my single bed at home with my parents when I was 16. But it still feels as if I've dived into her swimming pools and flirted with her rich, unscrupulous men. My reading habits have changed since I became a writer myself. I used to read haphazardly and uncritically, from French translations to war memoirs to fiction. Now, inevitably, I read a lot of crime, as that is what I write. I used to finish everything I started. I don't do that now. Often I will throw a book aside in frustration after a couple of chapters. I have become harder to please. I check jacket images and back cover blurbs and premises in a way I never did before. While this saddens me a little, there are advantages. When I come across a book that I admire, the joy of discovering it is more intense than in the past. A few years ago, an acquaintance was downsizing and organised a sale of most of her belongings. A friend and I were trying on some unwanted coats in a hot, crowded bedroom. After one too many pokes in the back from the elbows of other women, my friend snapped, "Why am I doing this? My husband doesn't even notice what I wear." Gillian Flynn's Gone Girl, which I was reading at the time, came to mind. "You really need to get this book I'm reading," I said. "It's about the battle of the sexes. You'll enjoy it." The joy of reading good books is the ability to pass them on, like a precious secret, to those you love.